preparations of the heart belong to man. Stop right there. The preparations of the heart belong to man. That is, that God has placed us in a world with a part to play. And the part that we play while we're in this world is to be intentional about the decisions that we make. Not to bump along, not to just let circumstances overtake, not to live accidentally, but to live on purpose. Live on purpose to carry out His purpose. We don't just wonder what we're going to do, we try to orchestrate as much as we can what we're going to do. The preparation belongs to man. You might keep your finger there and go to 19, Proverbs 19 and verse 21. 19 and verse 21. Yes. Our part of being in this world is targeted over by our making of plans and for our lives. That is what belongs to us. That's the human. We are to look ahead and be intentional. We are to plan our lives, is really what the scriptures are saying. To be deliberate. We're supposed to be deliberate, exactly. We're supposed to be deliberate, not accidental. It's not que sera, sera for the believer. It's, this is what I should be doing in light of what God is leading me to do, both in His Word, the overarching plan, and in the circumstances of my life. See, the other way in which God leads us, besides the overall blueprint, is to lead you step by step through your own life circumstances so that you have both talents and gifts, so that you have opportunities that are presented to you, so that you have desires or inclinations that God plants in your heart. You have a desire and a wish to do this or to be there or to participate in that. So He will plant those desires and those wishes in your heart. He will incline your will and move you in a given direction. All of those are things that He does so that when we respond, we begin to plan and to purpose. We read in chapter 19 of Proverbs in verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. There are many plans in a man's heart. One of the things that I've learned when I deal with college students as a college professor is that the plans change. I'm going to marry this person, and then the next thing you know is, oh, we broke up. I'm going to take this major. Next thing I know is, no, I changed my mind. I'm going to take this other major. And so if one thing is clear is that there are many plans, as we read here in chapter 19 of Proverbs and verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. And we just read in 16:1 of Proverbs that that is our part. Our part is to plan. The preparations of the heart belong to man. And look at verse 9 of chapter 16 of Proverbs. Proverbs 16:9. Where do we do our planning? In our heart. In our minds and in our hearts. Notice in verse 9 of chapter 16 of Proverbs, a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart plans his way. Now, the planning goes on the inside. The activity goes on the outside. The things we say, the things we do, are the outworking of what goes on in our hearts. As a man thinks in his heart, the scripture says, so is he. As a man plans or a woman plans in her heart, so she is and so she becomes. And so that your intentions, if you will, establish the course of your life, set the direction of your life, and then your actions thereafter are simply outworkings of what you have decided to do at that point. And if you decide not to do something, that's also a decision. A non-decision is a decision. You've decided to let the circumstances take over, and then in which case you better be grateful for whatever happens, since you had an opportunity to look and to choose otherwise, and you chose not to. You chose to just let it happen, so don't complain. Okay. The planning goes on inside our hearts and inside our minds. That's where we plan. But go to Proverbs chapter 3. Most important. Planning is ours. There are many plans. Planning goes on inside the heart. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. One we are all familiar, a pair of verses we are all familiar with. Notice what it says in verses 5 and 6. Of Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you could quote this from memory, I'm sure. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isn't that where the planning is done? In the heart. Oh, yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Does that not suggest that while you're doing this planning on the inside, that you should not be sort of doing it on your own? That the plans that you're making are not exclusively yours? That if you will, if you have a business plan for your life, that you have a senior partner, the one who is in fact in charge of your life, and that no plans should be undertaken and no plans should be carried out without consulting your senior partner. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the same heart that does the planning. And lean not on your own understanding. This is an important concept here. It doesn't say don't use your understanding. It doesn't say, you close your eyes and you make a decision that way. There's some people who seem to live that way, you know. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. That's the Bible verse I'm going to read, or something like that, you know. It becomes a shot in the dark. Now, the Bible wants us to have our eyes open. The Bible wants us to be, the Word of God wants us to be intentional and to have a focus and a goal. But the Bible also says that while you're doing all this planning inside your heart, you should be trusting the Lord as far as carrying out the plan. But even more significantly, you shouldn't be trusting your own heart. The thing that you should be most suspicious of is your own heart. Out of the heart proceed, the Lord Jesus said, all of those desperately wicked things that he listed in the Gospels. And the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says, and desperately wicked. So if we have hearts that are tinctured with sin, if we have motives that are mixed, because so many of our motives are self-oriented, then we should be suspect of our own motives every time. We should say, now, am I doing this because I want to please myself, or am I doing this because this is the will of God? Test your motives. Test your mind. Test your intentions. Why are you doing what you're doing? Don't lean on your own understanding. It says not, doesn't say not to use your understanding. You should use your mind. But it says don't rely and don't depend upon entirely your own understanding. Now, there are some people who are self-made, or they think they are, self-made individuals. Do we know any people like this? Who think, I've got the world by the tail. Some of you may have been there. Some of you may have friends who are there, and they think that they have a plan, and they have such a perfect plan that they can control all the circumstances of life, and nothing's going to hurt them, and nothing's going to happen that will throw them into a tailspin. And the first thing you know, because they have this unwarranted self-confidence about their ability to control the circumstances of their own lives, is that they become very, very discouraged the first time something big happens that knocks them off of their game plan, that throws them off the track. Because they're not ready to be disappointed. They think they've got things under control. They have leaned on their own understanding. The idea is you use it, but you don't rely on it. You use it, but you don't totally depend on it. Instead, you trust the Lord while you are planning. You consult the Lord in prayer while you are planning. You look at the circumstances of your life that he's placed before you while you are planning. And we're going to look at this next week. You consult with other believers and those whom you trust as well for counsel while you're planning. We're not going to talk about that today, but we will next week. Counsel. But today we're going to talk about the fact that we're commanded not to place our total trust in ourselves. Look at Proverbs 28. What if we do put our trust in ourselves? There are people like the one I just described who place their trust in themselves, in their own understanding, and their own smarts, their ability to plan everything. Proverbs 28. This is a humbling verse. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart, completely leans on his own understanding, thinks that he or she is smart enough to get this thing done, is a fool. But many of us have spent time in our lives when we have trusted ourselves, when we have trusted our smarts, when we have trusted our native intelligence to be able to put things together and to control the circumstances of our lives. And then things have come along that have thrown us for a tailspin, and we're not ready for that because we thought we had it all under control. We were foolish to have trusted our understanding completely, to have relied on our own understanding completely. We were foolish, the scripture says. Go to the book of James, chapter 4. James in the New Testament, chapter 4. By the way, in this class, if you're visiting, we let your fingers do the walking. So be prepared. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. go to 2 Timothy and turn right.
Yeah.
We just did 2 Timothy, so you should be ready. James chapter 4. Little example of how not to plan. But it's good to have some object lessons, and so we're given one by James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, here's a plan, folks. Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just plan to make a profit? Verse 14. Now there's a plan. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What should you have done in your planning? Instead, verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. Have you ever seen at the bottom of some people's letters the two initials, DV? You may never have seen that. Well, DV is Latin for Deus vult, which means God willing. God willing. And what it means is, it isn't just a codicil, it isn't just a little qualifier that you put at the end of every statement. It is, in fact, an intentional thing to say, in accordance with the will of God, I will do this. In accordance with the will of God, I will do that. In fact, that is how we're supposed to pray. If anyone prays in accordance with the will of God, then we know we have the things we ask. The Holy Spirit's presence inside us is to guide us in this regard, to show us whether it's within the will of God, both in terms of conformity to the Word of God and principles, and also in terms of whether we're really following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the details of our lives. The Holy Spirit will sometimes, have you ever had this experience, put a check on your spirit. You're about to do something and you stop because it doesn't quite feel right. You're about to make a decision and you hold up that decision. Why? Because it doesn't quite feel right. It's the Holy Spirit kind of nudging you this way and that way to try to check your spirit as you are about to make things, circumstances and decisions that might not be to your best benefit. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now that kicks it up a notch. It says, anyone who trusts his own heart is a fool. And if you start boasting about your ability to do this and to do that, it says that's evil. It's just foolish. It's evil. It's evil because what it says is the will of God doesn't matter. That's what it says. That's why it's evil. It says only my will matters. The will of God does not matter. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and, you know, whether there's a God or not. That's certainly foolish. It's also evil because it interposes your will in the place of the will of God. Go to Proverbs 19. Go back to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 19. So we've seen. We all have to plan. We have many plans. We've seen that we do this planning in our heart. We've seen that we're not to rely on our hearts or to trust our understanding totally, because that would be foolish. Indeed, that would be evil. What must we do? Proverbs 19. And 21. We read the first part earlier, 19:21 of Proverbs. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that is, the Lord's will, that will stand. Plan all you want, but understand God's will is what's going to get done. In the long term, His will is going to get done. There's a saying, and really that's what this verse is really capsulizing. Man proposes, but God disposes. Man proposes, but God disposes. That is to say, we have lots of plans. This is what we think is right. Circumstances seem to lead us this way. But in the end, we have to yield our own plans. We have to yield our own goals and objectives to the will of God. Thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Even facing the cross, the Lord Jesus made it crystal clear that as the Son of God, His will was in sync and was to remain in sync with the will of the Father. On a human level, he said, if it were possible for this cup to be taken from me, let it be taken. In other words, if there were any other way whereby we could be saved other than for his substitutionary death, then reveal it. But Father, nevertheless, not my will ever, as different from your will, be done. But my will, let it be always in conformity with yours. Let thy will be done. And so we we read our Father, and to trust the Lord. That's what Proverbs 3:5 was all about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what's He going to do? Let you fall on your face. No. And He will direct your path. There's a comfort there. There's a confidence there of saying, you know what? I don't know all that's coming. I can't. I don't have a periscope that looks over the top of the fence or around the corner. But I have one who does. Who has not only sees, but controls the future and controls the present. And so the result is I can have peace. The scripture has this wonderful command in the New Testament. It says, don't worry about anything. Now that doesn't mean you're to be Alfred E. Newman, what me worry. Idiot. No, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And then what says is going to happen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall garrison your hearts. So here is the formula for planning your life. Don't worry about the future. Plan it. Don't plan it by leaning on your own understanding. Consult the Lord. But when you've consulted the Lord and you've prayed it through, be at peace. Because you've prayed about it. And you've done what you know to do in order to let His will be done in your life. He will direct your paths. And look at, if you will, lastly, Proverbs 21. What if we do these things? Proverbs 21. What if we do these things? We are careful and diligent to observe the principles of the Word of God in our planning for our lives. What do we know in Proverbs 21 and verse 5? What does it say in Proverbs 21:5? The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Now, that's not a promise that you're going to get rich. Go watch out for these get-rich-quick schemes and these get-rich-quick gospels. The Bible doesn't promise that you're going to get rich. But what it says is that you will prosper properly and appropriately in accordance with the will of God. Things will go better, for sure, when you're doing things in accordance with His will and in His way, than if you start to do it in your way. You'll at least prosper in that sense. You may prosper in other senses as well, but that's not a promise. The plans of the diligent, that means people who have applied themselves to this matter of seeking God's will for their lives, lead surely to plenty, that is, to success. But those of everyone who is hasty, who leans on his own understanding, who decides, I've got a better idea, thank you, Ford. Talk about an ungodly motto, I've got a better idea. No, that's okay. I'm not trying to put down Ford. But those of everyone who is hasty, who just leaps forward doing their own thing, I did it my way. Thank you, Blue Eyes. And those of everyone who is hasty surely leads to poverty. That is to say, to failure. You're going to be at loss, whether in a pecuniary sense or in a spiritual sense, you're going to be at loss if you go your own way and you don't commit your way to the Lord. You don't seek His face. Well, it's fruitless. I won't turn to Psalm 127, but you can later. Psalm 127:1 says, in effect, it's a waste of breath and it's a waste of time to do any planning unless the Lord... Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord is involved in your plans will be fruitless. Trust in Him. Acknowledge His role, His sovereign role in your life as you do your planning. This is the beginning of the new year. If you're going to make resolutions, some of you may still do this, I don't know. But make your plans in a new way as we enter the new year in order to be sure He gets the glory and that we can be at peace because we have done it His way, not our way. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the guidance, the wisdom, the practical wisdom that Your Word provides for us here in the book of Proverbs, even with regard to this issue of planning. Yes, we are to plan. We are to do this planning in our hearts. We are to do it by not leaning on our own understanding and trusting our own smarts and our own will and our own motives, but rather we are to instead trust in You and to acknowledge You. And we know that as a result of that, that You have promised to direct our paths. You have promised success in accordance with your will. May we all submit our own wills to yours day by day and moment by moment, for that's the only way we can please you, and that's the only way that we will grow to be just like Jesus. For this we pray in his precious name. Amen. If you want any of the prior tapes, pardon? Yes, wait. Let's have a quick word of prayer for Sherry's toe. And my nose. No, the nose knows. Heavenly Father, we thank you today because we have had a lesson from your word. You've shown us your will for how we should go about planning our lives. And now we want to pray specifically for Sherry and for the injury that she sustained on her toe. Pray, Lord, that that toe will be healed completely and quickly. And yes, Lord, I would also pray for the removal of the splint tomorrow, that will go smoothly and that there will be no untoward results. We pray these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.